Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help us strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation. So subscribe, like, share, and follow, and let us know your thoughts. This is your host, Preach. Let's get into it.
It's our legal anniversary.
Oh,
our paperwork anniversary.
That's right.
We did the paperwork to try to get stationed together.
Yeah.
But that didn't work out. So
that's
did the paperwork, but we ended up getting married later in September. So
the 28th, right?
29th.
29th, because Dad's birthday is the 28th. I always know it's around there somewhere.
Cool. Yeah, so
also happy anniversary ish.
Yeah,
I know.
Ish. Mine was on Monday.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
How many years?
19.
19?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're hitting 11 this year.
So. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
So for sure. Good. For our 10 year, we planned on doing something big,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody decided to get married that year.
Oh, yeah.
So we did a wedding tour.
So you weren't allowed to. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A wedding tour that you had to go on. That's funny.
We kind of just went around to different people's weddings. So there was three or four
That's
year.
So funny.
No, three for sure.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
That's funny.
That was good stuff. All right. Set that up. So really just wanted to talk about Stories Unveiled and the story behind it, the conference coming up, and we'll just go from there.
Okay.
But please take a moment to kind of introduce yourself.
Okay.
And then we will jump into it. Jen, you've had an introduction before, but I'll probably have you introduce yourself as well. We don't care about me. I'm not important.
No, but you're the host.
Yeah.
So feel free to go ahead, Ashley, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of sharing a little bit about yourself and about Stories Unveiled.
My name is Ashley Sears. I am the founder of Stories Unveiled. And I've been doing it since 2018. I just have a passion for women and for their stories, which really just branched out into all stories and really believing that all stories matter and there's purpose in our pain.
Yeah, absolutely. What led you to start asking about people's stories and kind of getting into the idea, we need to share this? Was it maybe a couple of interactions that you're like, okay, this needs to be shared and maybe there's more out there, or what led you down that route?
It's kind of a long story. I will tell you, and I can shorten it, but do you want me to tell you?
No, yeah, go for it.
So actually that's almost like putting the cart before the horse to like what led me to asking people's stories. It was more born out of my own story. It started with me and my husband walking through a really tough time in our marriage. We had been married for about 18 months maybe, when I found out that my husband had a sex and pornography addiction. I caught him.
Wow.
And he had been dealing with it for years before came into the picture. But now I'm here and we have a kid and we're building a family and he's a new Christian at this point.
Mm.
And I was like, we're done with this. And so that kind of started us on a 10 to 12 year long roller coaster of addiction.
Oh, wow.
That addiction journey, if you're familiar at all, is very much a roller coaster.
Absolutely.
You white knuckle it and then you fall off the wagon and then you know, make bad choices and then you're good for a while. And we did that for about 10 to 12 years and, kept a lot of it hidden. There was only a couple times that I actually found out during that time. But in 2017 is when I found out that he had been concealing it from me for about 10-ish years.
Okay.
And that really, that whole time that he was supposedly doing really well and going to counseling, he wasn't.
Mm.
And so in about 2017, when it all kind of came to a head and we had three kids at that point and, he had to make a choice. There was some healing that needed to happen.
Yeah.
Or I was going to be done. We walked through this season of Pure Desire, which is a nonprofit organization that is geared specifically toward people who struggle with sex and porn addiction.
Yeah.
They have it for men and for women, and then they also have groups for the betrayed spouses. And so we kind of, as everything unfolded when my husband was in this group, mm-hmm. I realized I needed some healing as well. I needed to kind of deal with some of the trauma. And so as I kind of walk through that, once my husband and I got to a point where we were healthy and stable enough, we had made a commitment that we were going to stay together. Yeah. And, you know, we got to this point, we made the decision that we weren't going to allow our story to just kind of die in vain, so to speak, and have it be a part of our past. We wanted it to be present in the sense that it was something that we were really open about and talked yeah. about. Because what we found is that we were not the only couple dealing with this, especially yeah. in the church.
Oh, yeah.
And so where that led, at the time, I was a women's director at a local church, okay. and I used my platform at a women's event one night, just a smaller, I don't know, it was probably 20 to 30 women. Mm-hmm. And I spoke, mm-hmm. but in that, I just got a little vulnerable and I shared a little bit of me and my husband's story. Yeah. And it was the first time, and my husband and I had made a pact, like, we're going to be open and honest mm-hmm. about it. If there's men, my husband wants to help men, and he still mm-hmm. to this day does. And so I was like, I'm going to be really yeah. open about my end. Right. And so I just shared a little bit, but I was really honest. And afterward, there was, gosh, probably 6 to 7 women that followed up with me after mm-hmm. and said, thank you so much for sharing that. Me too. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my story wow. too. Wow. And I was like, man, this is wild. Couple of them I had done small groups with. Yeah. We had like been doing life together. And it's like,
yeah.
how?
And it would have, you would have never
no.
known.
Like,
never known.
Oh. We've sat across from each other in small group every week for I don't know how long. Mm-hmm. How come this never came up? And then mm-hmm. the Lord so gently reminded me, Ashley, nobody knew about you either. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right. So I sat with that for a while and yeah. I asked the Lord, what do I do with this? Because now I have what I've called this holy discontent for mm-hmm. like, why do we do that? Why do we show up on Sunday morning? Or why do we show up to small group? Yeah. Or why do we show up to these Christian things and we act like we have to have it all together?
Yeah.
Some of the most vulnerable, real people I have ever met are recovery people. Mm-hmm. Whether they're believers or not, they're yeah. recovery people because they know their weakness, they know their brokenness, and they know their need for
yeah.
help, you know? And as a believer, obviously, we know our need for a Savior. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, why don't church people approach it in the sense of like, I'm broken and I need a Savior mm-hmm. and I'm not perfect. And so there's a difference between airing your dirty laundry yeah. and being wise about the things that you yeah. say, but it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to have struggles. And yeah. if you can't tell people in small group or at church what you're really going through, because I know for so long we held ours so close to the yeah. vest, I was like, who can you tell then? So to answer your yeah. question, it got to this point where I asked the Lord, what do I do with this? And the Lord told me to give, it started out as women and now it's men and women, but to mm-hmm. give women a platform to share their story.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay. And I started with like 5 friends that yeah. I knew whose stories we did know. Mm-hmm. And they were all so vastly different mm-hmm. and like, and hard things too. Yeah. And I was like, hey, will you share your story on a platform of, I don't really know how many women are going to show up, but it would just be in person of you just yeah. like mm-hmm. sharing your brokenness. Like, mm-hmm. would you do that? And all of them said yes.
That's so cool.
And I imagine it's only because obviously the Lord told them I was walking in obedience. And the biggest part of it is that they trusted me and they yeah. trusted, mm-hmm. like we trusted that God was going to do something with this.
Exactly.
And so, we had our first conference in 2018 and that's where those 5 women shared their stories on a platform wow. to over 200 women.
Oh,
and
wow.
that was what got yeah. me like seeking stories and asking for stories and trying to draw out what God has done in your life, because what I realized yeah. is that our culture mm-hmm. tells us that we, being vulnerable is a weakness mm-hmm. and
absolutely.
Being vulnerable begets vulnerability though. And so yeah. once you share and you say, mm-hmm. man, this is what I'm going through. Like I'm struggling or I'm dealing with anger or whatever it is, it gives permission for somebody else to say, man, I'm so glad you said that, because this is what I'm dealing with.
Yeah. Even if it's not the same exact thing, it's something completely different, you're right in that vulnerability, being able to share, it opens up a door to where other people start to feel safer with you.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I just think about Jesus when he's walking this earth and the vulnerable places that he put himself in time and time again. Mm-hmm. And we have people, we probably all have seen people in our lives or have been these people where people will say, you know, I just feel like I can talk to you. Mm-hmm. Like I just, and I think there is a vulnerability there that people display that gives that openness. And I love that you took this step. First, you took that step yourself with that group. Mm-hmm. And I mean, were you nervous? Were you scared on how that could go?
To ask my friends?
Well, for you to share first. Oh. And then also to ask your friends.
You know, it's funny. I wasn't.
No.
The most nerve-wracking part about it was actually just standing up there. I've never been a public speaker.
Okay.
But being in full-time ministry caused me to have to be, because even if it was, you know, small announcements, I would oftentimes have to pray over the congregation, mm-hmm. or give announcements or be on stage in front of church on a Sunday morning. And so it forced me to have to be a public speaker. Exactly. And so the smaller, more intimate crowd, the way easier it is for me. And so I wasn't, and you know, I've never struggled with sharing the hard parts of my story. And I don't know why, because I know so many people do. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately what it is for me is that before I got to the place of where I am and sharing my story and being pretty bold in that and not fearful or worrisome about it, I had to walk through a lot of healing first, because I didn't share about my husband's struggles and stuff for so many years. Some of it was kind of shame and embarrassment. Some of it was I didn't want to shame him. Mm-hmm. And I was under this misnomer of but that's his story, that's not mine, even though I'm greatly affected by it. But it's also if I don't talk about it or think about it, then maybe it's just not real. And we don't have to bring light to it, because if we just don't talk about it, then maybe it'll just go away. Uh-huh. Until it got to a point where it wasn't going away. And I was basically faced with this demon, you know, I was faced with the skeleton in our closet, mm-hmm. that was not going away. And when we finally decided to deal with it, and then I healed from it, mm-hmm. it got to a point where I couldn't not share, because of all of the terrible things that I walked through being betrayed by my husband. I was like, man, if I can just help one woman, mm-hmm. One person, it's a really, this particular issue especially is really isolating and is really lonely, because it's not something you want to say, well, this is what my husband's doing, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's really lonely. And so I wanted to just kind of, stories unveiled, I wanted to just unveil what was behind the curtain and just say, listen, we can talk about all the things, which is why we talk about all the things at Stories Unveiled.
Did you ever struggle with your relationship with God through that, as far as trust, or how would you speak to other women that might be going through similar situations that feel maybe anger towards God in mm-hmm. it, or they just don't even know how to come to God with it, you know?
Yeah. I didn't struggle with my relationship with God. Yeah. However, I was angry with God, which I do see as two different things. I never doubted, who he was. And I feel like even if I did, it would have been okay. God can handle all of the things. I feel like he can handle our doubt, our anger, our whatever. But I never doubted that he was God, and I never doubted that he loved me and was taking care of me. But at the same time, I was really angry, then why are you continuing to let this happen? Because some backstory, prior to meeting my husband, I had a stalker. And I was actually in the middle of court proceedings when I met my husband. And so he ended up being sentenced to maximum security prison because he had been stalking several women around the state of Nevada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I walked through all of that. And then about 6 months prior to that, I was sexually assaulted in my room in the middle of the night in bed by a friend. And so I had, you know, those two kind of things piled in a year. And then growing up, my mom's husband, who is not my father, he raised me for a good handful of years and then they divorced. And it wasn't until I was 16 years old that I found out he wasn't actually my father. And I didn't know that he wasn't my father the whole time. Wow. And so I have this laundry list, if you will, of all of the reasons that I shouldn't trust men. You know, it started way back, honestly, from birth, not knowing that he wasn't my father until 16 years later, and then a friend. And then, although my stalker was a complete stranger, he still was, he was a man that couldn't be trusted. And so I met my husband and fell in love and like all the things, and we got married, and then 18 months in, I find this out and I feel duped and I feel stuck. And that's, so I'm like, God, what is your deal? Like, you know, and so I never doubted, which maybe I, in hindsight, I guess it's a blessing that I didn't, but I was mad and I was like, why do you keep doing this to me? And so what I would say, or, you know, how I've been able to reconcile that is he's obviously not doing it to me. While I do think he allows things to happen, there's also just sin, like just the fall. Like there's things that just happen. And I think sometimes over-spiritualizing them is probably dangerous too, but it's just like things happen, and whether it's choices we make or choices of, you know, the people make around us that affect us. And at the end of the day, do I or do I not believe that God is who he says he is? Do I believe or do I not believe that the Bible is true and that he loves me and that he has, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, that he has good plans for me? And, you know, and I did. For me, I did. And what I would say is to go to God with that anger, because I did. And he can handle it. It's he's not scared of our anger or our doubt or, you know, I've heard, I was actually just having a conversation the other day with a pastor, and I was saying how, you know, people a lot of times when they go in prayer, they have these formulated, like, dear Lord, that, you know, like these formulated prayers that are kind of rote. Even if the prayer itself is different, it's kind of this, you know, pretty bow. And oftentimes my prayers are like, what in the world? And sometimes maybe I say a bad word. Like, you know, and while that's not ideal, God, whether we mask it or not, he still owns our heart. So I just firmly believe in taking it all to him and giving it all to him and trying not to take it back. That's the hard part, right? And healing and recovery is taking that back, but to just take it all to him because he can handle it.
I mean, have you read the Psalms lately?
Have I read the Psalms lately? Not lately. I have read them.
But the Psalms, I love the wisdom literature, the Psalms, even Proverbs, Job. You see that expression of sorrow, doubt, anger, all of it is there. And people in their times of prayer and worship, you see that all expressed to God. You see people saying things where if we were to, we take a close look at it, we're thinking, man, that's not a very Christian attitude. Or, you know, that's not the right, you know, hoping for certain things and hurt to harm to other people. But it's all in there. And I think that's, that is a permission given to us, kind of use that word again, right? That permission that's given to us to bring all of ourselves to him. I really think when he says that he wants us to love him with our whole heart and all of our strength and all of our being, that means we're going to bring everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, it may not come out in the perfect bow, but he would rather that communication be happening than we close off. And I think too often people, we just close off. And it's because if we open up and we let all those things out, we put ourselves in a vulnerable position. And we see that in relationship to God. We see that in relationship to one another, where if we open up all the way, you know, that can ruffle feathers, that can break a relationship, that puts us in a place where others can turn their backs on us, which can be hurtful, or they can use that moment and things that came out in that moment against us as well.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because I'll time and time again say that the display of God's strength is not, it's kind of Rocky, right? it's kind of like Rocky says, but the display of God's strength, I like Rocky. what's it called? But the display of God's strength is not how he's impervious to hurt or any of these things. It's how much he's willing to take.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's willing to go through so much and able to go through so much and not lose his patience and not lose his love, not lose his gentleness, not lose his kindness, even though we can put him through so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we almost get the impression that none of this stuff bothers him and touches him at all. And I feel like that shows a lower degree of patience, love, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Because if nothing's bothering you, if none of that stuff is coming against you, then yeah, it's going to be easy
right.
to love someone. It's going to be easy to be patient with them. It's going to
yep.
be, but he's able to do it through all of the mess that human history has thrown
yeah.
his way. And so I love that. And we think in our relationships have become stronger through that as well. I can't think of one relationship that stuck through difficult times and was not stronger mm-hmm. because of sharing and going through that difficult time together.
Right.
That's literally, that's why Paul says, you know, we suffer with him. Mm-hmm. We're called to suffer with Jesus so that we share in his glory.
Yeah.
We share in the angst and the pain of living out our faith so that we can share in the bright side of it as well.
Yeah.
Something that you said... Oh, I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to get back to that. Something that you said I think is really important, but we also just kind of got on a tangent and we never introduced Jen. So,
<That's okay.
laughs> So Jen, please introduce yourself as well.
I am Jen Jones and I'm part of Widow's Well, which is under Hope Ministry. And we just like to love on single moms and widows. Just helping in the way we can
yeah.
in the Treasure Valley mostly.
Yeah, yeah. And that's been so exciting, the fact that we've been able to help a number of single moms, widows with, I mean, school supplies, fixing stuff around the house, yeah. Things
mortgage
as simple
payment.
As yeah, yeah. mortgage payments, yeah. bills, and yeah. those types of things. And so that's been really cool.
Yeah.
And then to also be able to do these things and try to build connections with churches on with those single moms and those widows. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun. And so we're hoping for even bigger and better things in the future.
That's awesome.
So something that you said earlier, and you mentioned how, you know, your husband was fighting this battle,
mm-hmm.
And it was something that he was going through, but then you also said it is something that you both went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we at times fail to take on, to realize like how much what we're going through, how people share in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we don't just face these issues in isolation. And I think Paul says it very well in how he talks about the body of Christ and the fact that, you know, when one hurts, we all hurt. And I think sometimes we isolate ourselves and the enemy tries to isolate us, tries to keep it in dark, tries to isolate mm-hmm. us. But even when it's in the dark and it's covered up, it's still affecting others.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know how, they may not know why, but eventually, usually those things end up coming out. And even if they're not coming out, what could be there is not seeing its fulfillment because we're keeping those things in the dark.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting just because never are we ever really going through something alone.
Right.
Never is it just happening to us.
Right.
But it's always going to end up affecting those around us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the enemy will try to dupe us into that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, this is something you're going through. This is something you can keep to yourself. And that ends up, again, throwing up walls
right.
between us. And
yeah. Well, and even it's funny that you say that. So year one, our conference, one of the friends that I asked, one
yeah.
of the five friends, I had asked her to share a part of her story that she had never shared before. And when I asked her to do it, she looked at me and she said, but that's not my story. And what it was that her husband had been paralyzed in a terrible motocross accident.
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked her to share her story in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was out of town when it happened, when she got the call, how she got to the hospital, like, and then his recovery, but for her, like, what did that look like?
Exactly.
They had a daughter, a young daughter, and all of a sudden, I mean, he's paralyzed. So all of a sudden you need ramps and you need things that he's incapable of doing now. And so she has to do.
Yeah.
And so I asked her to share that. And she was like, but that's not my story. I didn't get in the accident. I said, but you have a whole story.
Oh, yeah.
But you have a whole story in that. And she said, well, nobody's ever asked me that. Like, it's always, it's him, obviously, because he's the one that got the accident. And I said, But your side of it matters too.
Absolutely.
And like what you walked through, all the pain and the grief and the, like all of the things, you know, like you married somebody with two working legs and now he doesn't,
now
like,
gone.
You know, and she was like, oh my gosh. Okay. And so it's just like that. And she did, and she shared it. And it was amazing about what God has done in her and in their marriage regarding his accident. But she, and it's funny, I mean, she said what happened and then she didn't talk about his accident, right? She just talked about her and that whole way through it. And she was like, I didn't realize really that that was like a thing, that I had some stuff that I had
Absolutely.
To like walk through. And so
Absolutely.
Even if it's not something we're hiding or, you know, it's not something we're struggling with, it's still something that you're working through.
Absolutely.
If it's happening to your spouse or somebody close to you, a coworker, a sibling, a whatever, it affects everybody differently, but it affects your circle of influence wherever you go. So,
And I wonder how much of that goes unnoticed, untalked about when we look at the body of Christ being one, right? So between churches, for example, when the church down the road is going through something and there's some serious things that happen, how much that truly does affect the rest of the churches there in that community.
Yep.
And we don't make that connection, and we're not talking about it, and we're not talking about it from the different perspectives and the influence there. And because you're right, anyone within your circle there, and even I would say maybe to the second and third degree even, because when something happens to your spouse, that's going to affect you and likely your close friends or your family, even though that's not, you know, their spouse. They're just related through marriage or friends through marriage. They're also going to have to be affected by the way you're responding.
Well,
and what you're doing.
It's like the bigger the rock splash,
oh,
the bigger the ripple.
Yeah, the bigger
you
the
know,
ripple.
You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like the whatever that rock is, you know, however big that splash is how big that ripple is
exactly.
going to get. So.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't want to speak for your friend because I don't know her emotions, but I would imagine that it would be easy to feel some guilt maybe for feeling some of the ways she was feeling. Like, I'm not the one that went through the accident.
Yeah.
Why am I feeling this way?
Yeah.
But how awesome that you had the eyes to look at her and say, no, we need to hear your story.
Yeah.
And how that can give freedom to other people that it might not be the same type of situation, but to know just because you weren't the direct one affected, that you are still affected and you still
Absolutely.
Have all of the emotions that you have to work through.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's, it needs to be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Man, that's so cool. The more people share about these things, when they're able to look back and talk about the healing process and what they went through, I think it'll allow people to share more that are even currently going through it. I think that can be even scarier for a lot of people to open it up when it's something they're currently facing.
Yeah.
Because we feel like we have to have it all together. So if it's not something that we've gotten, you know, put together and whatnot, then we're fearful of letting those things out. And I think when we build those relationships with one another, we're able to find those safe places. Like you said, what better place than the body of Christ? What better place than in that small group of believers that you've been meeting with? That's where you should be able to share. This is what we're going through. And we want you to keep this in prayer with us. We want you to keep it in mind and be able to walk through that with one another.
Yeah.
I think when we do that, then we get to also celebrate together. When those things end up coming to pass, we get to celebrate. That's one of the reasons why I think we love seeing baptisms and we love to celebrate together. That's something that is great. And especially when you can feel like if you're a part of a body of believers, you're part of a church, and then you're seeing these baptisms go on, how it feels great because you can also celebrate and have a sense of you're part of making this happen. The ones that are serving a lot in that community are going to feel a greater joy there than the ones who are, you know, popping in and popping out. Because they've sowed into this. They're seeing fruit from their labor and from their relationships. And so when we're able to invite people into that, we can celebrate even those little things together.
Right. I think it's really easy to celebrate because I think we're wired to be able to celebrate things, and it's fun, right? Like anytime there's fun, everybody loves a celebration, right? I think where it gets hard is when the walking with people in celebration, when the walking with people turns to grief or walking with people in the trenches, like that's the hard part. And so it's like, how do you, you know, how do you move from, okay, well, this was great, but you can rarely get here, the celebration, without walking through the garbage, right? The valley, the whatever. And, you know, I have like, it's like this process, right? People ask, you know, well, I'm not just going to get up if I'm in the, you know, if I'm in the middle of a divorce and it's messy, or there's, you know, I'm in the middle of something super nasty, I'm not just going to get up on a stage or on a podcast or whatever and air all my dirty laundry or, you know, open all my baggage. And I was like, no, that's not wise. You know, not wise at all. Not wise at all. Especially if you don't even know how you feel about it, right? Exactly. If you're working through all of the emotions of it, as long as you're working through, you know, but that's why it's so important to have safe people and have community and safe people around you, because that is who you get real with.
Exactly.
And that is who you walk with, and people that are hopefully in the trenches with you doing that. And then you get to a place of some healing, and the healing grows and grows. And then, in my opinion, that's when you get to the point of then you share it with more people in an effort to help other people. And that's really why Stories Unveiled was created, not to train women to air all of their baggage on a platform because it's fun, but it's to get people to understand that all of the people that have shared aren't wrapped in a bow. They just have just enough healing under their belt to see what God is doing and has done in their life to then be able to share it. And it's our strength and our hope for somebody that's going through it behind us.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of the real like heart behind it.
Absolutely. That is so cool. I can't think of any examples of people overcoming serious obstacles and trials in their lives and being able to look back and say, I did it all myself.
Right.
I just can't think of any example whatsoever. And if someone is likely saying that, most people would likely look at them with a little bit of that, maybe a little narcissism or something going on there. But I just, that also just does not seem to be the way that God operates.
Right.
We see so often that when people are going through these different trials and these circumstances, it is in a group with fellowship, with other people coming around them and supporting them, that they're able to get through these things and find healing.
Yeah. My pastor says all the time, we get wounded in relationships, so we must heal in relationships.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you have to have people around you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because we love the celebration. We would be more than happy to avoid the sorrow,
the hard
times. I remember telling people that your mountaintop experience is going to correlate with what happens in the valley, with how well you're walking through those valleys and those types of things. And when you're walking through the valleys and the plains of life, depending on what you do there is going to correlate with that. If you're not doing well in the valley and in the plains of life, if you're not in the valley and in the plains of life with other people, then the mountaintop that you get to share with them is not going to be nearly as great as well.
Right.
And so we want the celebration. We want it, but we cannot avoid that hard time. Because sure, you can jump in on some celebrations, but that celebration will be all the greater when you're able, like Paul says, when we suffer with him, then that celebration is going to be all the greater at the end of that, versus we're just going to show up for the cake and, and for, you know, the good time. It won't be nearly as great as it could be if we were walking through all that situation together, if we went through the valley and the plains together. So there's just something beautiful about that. And I think that is really important for believers on an individual level to know you have to have your people. You need to have those people that you can come together with and that you can share your story with, that you can invite them into your story, being part of their story. And then that way you can share in the celebrations and help each other through the times of hurt and sorrow in the middle of it. But also for organizations, for ministry leaders, it's the same thing there. You talked about, you know, the bigger the rock that drops, the ripple. When you have an organization that's affected by something, you have a church that's affected by something, that is going to ripple out into the community more so than if it's just one of the believers there. And we need to be able to build those connections between one another where we can walk through things together. There's no reason for ministry leaders to work in isolation, which happens way too much.
So often.
And that's one of the reasons why ministry is one of the biggest places of burnout, is because there's that isolation. And there's no reason, reason for that. We need to push back on the lies of competition, push back on the lies that, you know, we can't be vulnerable with one another and be able to build those relationships, because the community as a whole, you know, the town, the area that you're in, will celebrate all the more and be able to rejoice in the victories of those ministries when they actually reach out and they're making connections. So have you guys ever... Any thoughts? I don't want to ramble.
Nothing that, no. So many as we're talking, but
right.
I
think it's really important that I really like what you're doing and helping people to share those stories, unveil those, and it's something that we can practice with one another, even as families.
Yeah.
Did you guys grow up with meeting at the dinner table and, like, talking about the day? Did either of you?
We didn't eat at the dinner table. We ate together, though, and we would kind of chit-chat about the day that way.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
My mom worked swing shift, and when she wasn't a single mom and she was married to the man I found out wasn't my father, he would eat in front of the television, like with a TV tray. And I was an only child until I was almost 10. And so I sat by myself and watched TV and ate dinner alone every single night.
Man.
So no, we did not. And we do it in my family every single night. Dinner around the dinner
Make
table.
It a, yeah.
Yes, every single night.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And I'm sure just growing up, like you just, was it just from growing up or did you kind of get that impressed on you through conversation with others that this is a priority? This is something that...
Well, my husband and I grew up similarly in that way. Yeah. My husband also grew up fending for himself. So we didn't have that. And we both have very strong, like, familial convictions as far as, like, we want our kids to be close to each other and we want our kids to be close with us. And you know, my brother and I are fine. There's no necessarily strain there, but my husband and his sister do not have a relationship. We do not have a relationship with his family at all. And, so it's very like, man, we want to create this as close-knit, you know, a healthy, close-knit family as possible. And in my opinion, the only way we're going to do that with our lives going crazy directions, and I have three teenagers, so they're hardly home, you know, or whatever. It's like coming together around the table, and at the end of every day, you know, my daughter's been living in Germany for the last couple months, and not having her home has been a huge void. And she's like, you know, she misses us and all of the things, but like, we've done that since they were, since birth. I mean, since they were born, we've been doing that. And so we both just felt really strongly that if we could do one thing, it would be sit around the table together and turn the television off and just eat together and talk about the day. So,
I know there's some crazy statistics out there about that and the impact that it has on family relation and health and development and the growth of kids. And that's something that we try to practice regularly as well. And I had I was thinking about that just because my mindset, I have this acronym I'll regularly use for success. And it always, it goes through the stages of personal relationship with God, and that being strong and unwavering, your family being Christ-centered, and then the body of Christ being connected and sharing strengths and being in connection with one another. We've been touching on this aspect of strong relationship with God, and we kind of were teasing at it with this idea of bringing everything to Him, right? And seeing that in the Psalms. And if there was a challenge that I would want to give to people, it's share every emotion you have, every thought, every emotion you have with Him, that He's a big boy and He can take it. if we want Him to mold and be able to influence our minds and our emotions and our heart, then we need to open that up to Him. And that's part of it. And so, and we've also talked about within the church at large, and believers making sure we have those people that we can connect with, and organizations and ministry leaders making sure they're making those connections in the community and having people that they can walk through their stories with. As a family, I feel like that's one of those great places to keep your family Christ-centered and to also have that connection and walking through each other's stories. That's a great place to learn what's happening in your family's lives. Like, don't settle for how was your day? Good. Get into it and make it where we had on the other podcast a husband and wife, and they said that short answers aren't acceptable. They know it won't fly when they're talking about certain things that they're going to have to explain. They're going to have to make that the culture, to where when we're sitting at the dinner table, when we're having these meals, and for some people it's breakfast, for some people it's lunch. You know, we're not saying it has to be dinner, you know, 6 o'clock or whatever, but make sure that you have that place where your family regularly comes together and you are learning about each other. You're sharing your story with each other. I think that's so important. And so any other thoughts? I'm going to give you ladies a chance to give any final takeaways from this that you would use to encourage people to help practice unity among believers.
I guess I would just say that I think that for me, why stories are so important is because the Bible is just one big, crazy, beautiful, wild story.
Yes, it is.
I mean, there's a lot of stories, but it's just one big story. And Jesus, when he was here, you know, on earth, he often spoke in stories. It was like parables to explain his point, to get, you know, to get his message across. He was constantly talking in parables, and stories are just like the fabric of, I think, how we were wired. And God created us for like relational connection. And yeah. I think that the best way to connect is through personal stories. Mm-hmm. And so, I haven't always been passionate about stories until like, you know, 2017. But now I just see so clearly how God wired us and what our connection to the Bible is and in stories, like our story versus God's story. It's not necessarily verses. It's like God is writing our story for us and how we fit in to all of that. And it's just so, so amazing. So
It's interesting. I always will reflect that, you know, history is really his story. And as we fit into that, like you said, it's being able to find that connection to where our story is part of his story. Mm-hmm. I would say it's overwhelming. It's a really beautiful thing when you're able to do that. And we can share that with one another as well. And so I think that's...
Well, and that's what unites us, I think, because your story is not going to be the same as mine.
No.
And, you know, Jen, your story is different too. There might be some similarities, right? But we've all felt pain.
Yeah.
We've all felt grief in some form or fashion, whether we've lost someone or not. There's grief in so many ways.
Yeah.
Disappointment, anger, sadness, like all of the feelings, none of us are immune to feeling.
Yeah.
And while your story looks different than mine, we all have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we can unite under Christ in that he's writing each of our stories so individually and so specifically, but also so beautifully that, like, that's how we can come together.
Well, and he's bringing those stories all together into a larger tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
We're all
Which
part
is what the Bible
of,
was.
Exactly, right?
A million different stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's piecing all of our individual stories together, and just like any other piece of art, tapestry that will come together, it's breathtaking when you're able to see how God pulls all those pieces together.
Yeah.
And the more that we know about each other's stories, the more we can catch a glimpse of that, of the bigger picture, of the bigger story.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book right now. It's not even a Christian book, but what you're saying just reminds me of, if we stop and take time not to tell our own, not that it's bad to tell your own story, but to listen to other people's stories and to put other people's needs before yourself, and not just think about yourself when you go in the store. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. I'm here to get my 10 items. Just leave me alone.
Yep.
But maybe the cashier's having a bad day. If you say, hey, how's your day going? You know, just to take that extra minute and listen to other people's stories. And sometimes that's all they need, is somebody to listen for the day, you know? So I think what you're doing is awesome, because you're giving other people the chance to give their story. And the more people give their story, that vulnerability lets other people know it's okay to tell my story, and it gives strength. Yeah. I know I've struggled with anxiety in the past, and just knowing my cousins and what they had been through and hearing the similarities, it made me know, like, okay, it's going to be okay. I'll make it through. But then now I feel like I can also, like, reach out to other people that have gone through the same thing and try to encourage them. So it's kind of that trickle down effect, or even, you know, maybe I'll need it again, you know, it's that back and forth of relationships. So that's good.
Absolutely. And so Stories Unveiled, you're going to be having another conference coming up soon.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
So excited about that. I'm going to try to make Jen go.
Yeah.
You should. I was wondering if anybody could come. Sounds good.
What's it called? Because I know we'll be there. We'll have our booth there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure we put links on that in the show notes. Is there anything that you want to say about that?
Just that it's going to be incredible. So we're at Boise State this year again, actually. And that, even in and of itself, was a huge blessing to be back at Boise State.
Nice.
We thought it was a one-off back in 2019, and we were asked to come back.
Nice.
So it's awesome. Hopeful to have some students there attending. It's just going to be awesome. The stories this year are amazing. Our speaker is great. So we have, I'll just kind of break it down real quick.
Yeah.
We have 5 stories, and we have a teaching speaker. So we have 6 speakers total.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much every year is the standard model. We have 5 different stories every single year, all different things. God chooses the stories. Yeah. I do not try and fit them into a box. God brings me the people and brings me the stories. And so we have some incredible stories this year. Our teaching speaker, she's amazing. Our worship, we're just solidifying the worship now. I talked to our worship leader today. Yeah. And it's all just going to be super powerful. So
that's awesome.
We're really excited.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I could remember their name off the top of my head. There is an organization that works over there with a lot of students at Boise.
Crew?
That I feel like, no, it's not Crew. But I'm going to have to try to make a connection with you for them, because I feel like they would have some students that would be perfect to get connected into Stories Unveiled, to get them there.
Yeah.
Nope. they work with a lot of international students.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so I just think that would be really
That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Really what date is it?
September 14th.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to be signing off. And like I said, really those takeaways, just try to build those relationships, because I feel like that's what we're talking about here. When we're talking about sharing stories, it's not just hearing someone's story, but also stepping in and being a part of it,
mm-hmm.
and having those relationships to where we can be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, we will build greater unity. You can't have unity without vulnerability,
right.
And without being a part of one another's story.
Mm-hmm.
So such a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Yeah,
and we will be there. We will see you at Stories Unveiled.
So excited.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Remember to be part of the conversation. Like, share, subscribe, and follow. Consider becoming a ministry partner with us for as little as $1 a month. $1 a month, you can help to continue not just this podcast, but other ways in which we teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Be part of strengthening unity in the body of Christ. We look forward to continuing more conversation with you online throughout the week and next Monday on the In Hope podcast.